Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And from JT, welcome to Talking Trots. It's going to be a cracking weekend of trotting action around our state. Little appetite teaser yesterday at Maryborough. Good card at headquarters last night. But the talking point is tomorrow's Redwood Classic and Victoria Derby for the trotters at Maryborough. It'll be a little bit brisk, but they're a hardy breed. The people from Central Victoria and all trot people for that matter, as all roads will lead to Maryborough tomorrow. Let's bring in the good form team of Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. Morning, lads.
Yeah, morning, John. Really excited, as you say, Redwood Rattlers on the mind at the minute. But that said, we've still got plenty to get through. It's been a pretty big week, as always, in the trots, and plenty to talk about.
Yeah, really looking forward to tomorrow, no doubt about that. The train, I don't think I can take the train there, unfortunately. I'll be getting the train home because it might arrive a little bit too late and I've got to be on track, but I'll be enjoying the festivities on the way back. There it is.
The Monty, the first race. You're looking forward to interviewing the jockeys up there on course.
As you know, it's not easy to interview the Monty riders. You just got to stretch out the lats a little bit. But no, I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the entire program as we can just hear the rattler ticking away in the background.
I bet you won't be as tight as the train from Cranbourne, Bonners, that you usually jump on. But hey, great to see this concept. It's a look, the people of Maryborough, Central Victoria, it's a big trotting area and they really get behind that. So to the Maryborough Club and HRV, well done. Friday was a ripper day and tomorrow's going to be a cracker.
We should also pay homage, I think, Shannon Nixon and Brett Coffey, who I think were the drivers behind the idea in the first year particularly. They got it up and about, and as you say, the Maryborough Club have put a lot of time and effort and money into it as well to keep it going. So I think numbers grew by a substantial amount first to second year, and hopefully it can do so again next year.
And if the Rattler Ride Home is 5% looser than it was last year, well, they might not let us do it for a third year anyway. We'll just say that, JT.
Okay, you just keep it classy, Maryborough. Right. Okay.
Drinking responsibly.
All right, the week that was, gentlemen, tell me about it. There's been plenty happening.
There has. Last weekend, probably particularly, we can start just over 7 days ago when TCB McRae and Amaretto put their mark on the Metro card last week. I think, Bon, we were both very impressed with both performances. Amaretto, she caught pressure, got fired up through those middle stages, but still did a massive job to kick on. And you particularly, I'm sure, were thrilled with TCB McRae returning to his brilliant best.
Yeah, no, I do believe if he can keep progressing on this trajectory, he is a legitimate Victoria Cup sort of smoky. I think he'll be a big price when Tab put their markets out for the race. But and Amaretto, like, people just don't understand. I don't think there've been a couple of people saying, well, could she measure up to the very, very best when she's pulling and reefing so hard? She's gone 154 and 154.5 in her last two of her last three or four starts at Tabcorp Park Melton. They just don't do that. So they tried to take her on, which I was really surprised about, but she was just way too good for them, JT.
All right. Some beach, some gift gives locals cause to celebrate in South Australia, mate.
Yeah, that's true from the Southern Cross last Saturday night. And this is a really good story. I was reading up about Megan G, who drives a horse. It's like a pet to her. She works for the trainer and she spends all her time with this horse, Some Beach, Some Gift. It's always had a lot of ability. We've seen that over the journey, but went in as sort of an underdog in the Southern Crosses. Often the locals do when a few Victorians head over, but she was just too good for them, Some Beach, Some Gift. And I think the horse will go to the paddock now. Megan G said she might take a little bit of a break and come back when the horse is ready again.
She part owns it, you know, don't you?
Yep, part own. And I think it was probably just one of those stories that you don't see all too often in big races anymore. Generally, you know, you've got big connections putting money in, but to see sort of some of the smaller connections get a result like that was quite good.
Yeah, well, they were playing for Sheep Stations at Globe Derby last weekend as well. It was really good racing, good competitive racing. That's what you want to see. You don't want to turn up to an AFL Grand Final. It's all right week in, week out if you have a couple of Dorothy Dixes, a couple of easy matches, but on Grand Final day, you want to see them rock up and you want to see blood left on the turf, and that's exactly what happened really at Globe Derby on Saturday. Some of the racing was just extraordinarily competitive, and that actually helped Some Beach, Some Gift win because it was drawn off the second line, of course. So long may it continue, JT.
All right, what else have you seen this week, gentlemen?
I'm going to go with SVB, DB claiming a Group 2 at
James Vandermeer.
Not James Vandermeer, Sydney Vandermeer. Okay. What do you think about SVDB?
I don't mind it, actually.
It's okay, just rolls off the tongue pretty quickly.
It's got that Jean-Claude Van Damme type thing, and they're both Belgian, true. So I like it.
Very good. There we go, working with some material off the cuff. But yeah, to get his first big race, I guess, here in Australia, to go over to the Southern Cross, he had some pretty big-name drives in the heats of these races, and he was able to keep the drive on, one particularly in the final, which He was able to get the job done. He beat another Emma Stewart runner. It was a good competitive race, as you say, Bon. Really good high-stakes racing. And it just caps off what I guess has been a terrific 6 months for Sid. He's just driven winner after winner. I'm sure his strike rate's still well over 60% since he's joined Emma Stewart. But no, you're not sure?
No, I just think there's a little bit of colour of money or... sort of the hustler about Sydney Van den Brand came over here from Belgium, and we're thinking, what a good young driver. He's picking this up very quickly. Of course, he'd driven a number of winners in Europe, and this is a man who knows what he's doing in the kart. He's not messing around. He defeated Gavin Lang in one of those Southern Cross finals, as you mentioned, the Group 2 win. So I don't think we've heard anything like the last of Sydney Van den Brand, and even when his time probably will come to an end at some point with Emma and Clayton, I think he could make a success of himself if he decides to stay out here on our shores, JT.
And anything else caught your eye, Bonners?
Nicole Melander, over the last 24 hours, has had success across a couple of states. And look, they've had a number of very, very good horses going around. Safarique was the winner of that Southern Cross final, Baker. And look, they've got a nice little team together now. They're more spreading their wealth across the trotters and the paces at the moment, and they're having plenty of success, mate.
Yeah, you're right. They did it. Again, we're focusing a lot on these Southern Cross finals, but Safarique was able to get the job done. It was, I think, a double for Gavin over there, one for Emma, one for Nicole, and then sort of 24 hours before that, they got the job done at Tabcorp Park Melton with More Shades of Gold, who was a terrific winner there. So it'll be interesting going forward to Redwood Classic Day. They always obviously have a strong hand on race days like this, and I'm sure it'll be no different. So just sort of coming into form at the right time of the season, I guess you'd say, with the Breeders' Crown coming up and some of their Smart Square Gators and even Safarique, and I think Passion's Delight's in a heap later next week in the Breeders' Crown. So, some nice horses developing for the team at the minute.
When is the big day at Melton?
August 26th, I'm going to say.
Coincides with the McGregor-Mayweather fight, in fact, John. So,
some efforts being made to get that up at Tabcorp Park Melton. So watch this space. We'll keep everyone on notice as to whether we can get the fight up there at Tabcorp Park. Of course,
Wouldn't it be a great day,
but it's going to be a great day on the track with the racing regardless, and it is August 26th, Super Sunday.
You just want to hear the VO, let's get ready to rumble, just resonate through that Coliseum
on
the Western Highway.
We can throw it up before all the big races and then have it for the fight as well. Mm.
Talking Trot's run of the week.
All right, the 3-2-1s. The 3-2-1s, guys, what did you see?
I found one which I know I've probably brought to the show before, but I'm going to bring it again because I thought this win was terrific. Ravallo Rock last Monday at Yarra Valley had to sit park. They ran time. He was off the bit of fairway from home. But he just kept finding the line, he kept digging in, and he tried really hard. So I think he's a horse that can go places for the team. Jane Davies, of course, I think he's a nice horse in the making. And based on what I saw from Yarra Valley, I think he's deserving of at least 1 point. We probably could have flipped one and two either way. I'm sure probably three stands alone, but one and two, not much between them. I'll give it to Ravallo Rock, Bon. And who did you find from the week?
Found Big Jack Hammer, second time in a row. This time off 20 metres in a handicap race at Bray Raceway, Ballarat on Tuesday night. Second time in a row, and he's just said, I'll tell you what, I'm better than you guys. I'm just going to whip around and find the front mid-race.
He lost a bit of ground early, didn't he?
Yeah, got to the top, and I'll tell you what, it was a super run. We've probably got two runs of the week out of the same race because Amarula didn't turn up this weekend at Tabcorp Park where she was nominated. She was going to start a very short price favourite against Into the Unknown there and was favoured against Big Jack Hammer, just galloped in the final couple of 100 metres. I don't think it was going to beat Big Jack Hammer, but both horses to look for in the next coming weeks. Big Jack Hammer's racing at the peak of his power and Amarula will be winning very soon. And drum roll, please, three votes.
Three votes, hasn't he raised to the octaves there? And I like your little Quinella as well for the 2 points, but we're only going to find one horse for three, and that was Thursday at Horsham. A horse called He's the One.
He's the one.
He is the one. He's a
one
very nice
three.
Horse. One gets three. Three gets one. He was beaten by Spot on a Shadow, but his run was enormous. Again, he had to sit parked. He got pretty fired up. Things just didn't work out for him in that race. He's the one. He was only second up from a break, but I thought it was a magnificent performance. I think he'll be winning very, very
Rebecca
shortly.
Rebecca Race, do you?
Sorry?
Rebecca Race?
Rebecca Race, wherever he goes, very confident he'll be winning. He's the one. He's always shown a ton of ability, and after two runs, as long as it's not, you know, a gut buster out of that run, given how much work he did and the times they ran, I think he's definitely a horse to follow. Three votes for the week.
Driver of the week, gentlemen.
We're going to go John Caldo. This is a sort of persistency and hard work rewarded, I guess. He's had four wins during the week. He had a treble at Mildura, of course. Long ways from Melton to go to Mildura as often as John does, but he obviously goes up there for some pretty nice horses. He had a nice two-year-old in the last, which won pretty impressively, and he's had a good week. I think Beltane won earlier in the week in a pretty decent race. So he's that kind of driver, Jace, where he'll bob up at big odds in a big race. He'll find one, you know, a second or third stringer for Emma Stewart, and they'll win it 30 or 40 to 1. He's probably underrated, really, when it comes to the big races, and particularly week to week as well.
He's won a stack of them. Don't worry about that. And I wouldn't mind knowing, actually. We'll find that for next week, exactly how many races John Caldo has won, because I'd say it would be, not exactly up there with Chris Alford and Gavin Lang, but I'll tell you what, from a Victorian perspective, I think he'd nearly be third. So he's been around for a long time. He's been at the top for a long time. He loves going up to Mildura, and he did a wonderful job there during the week with a treble, JT.
This was history in the making.
And a mighty run by Popular Army scored by a metre.
Another moment from the vault.
All right, so where are we sending the TARDIS to this week, gentlemen?
Not too far back.
Well, they need about a nanosecond to get back to here.
Yeah, well, lots of strange things happening with Doctor Who, of course. Great to see a female Doctor Who. But we digress, actually. Illawong Helios we're talking
about.
Speaking
of females.
Speaking of females, exactly. I should have segued that a little bit better. Illawong Helios winning the Victoria Trotters Derby. And, of course, it's been a really happy hunting ground for the fillies of recent times and could continue tomorrow, I think, when we go through the preview with Dance Craze and Unbella Lure in particular.
A lot of fillies in this edition.
Yeah.
Now, just before we get to this replay, it brings up a really interesting discussion point, I think, given the placement and the timing of the Victoria Trotters Oaks and Trotters Derby. Should the fillies be allowed into a derby, given the boys aren't allowed into the Oaks?
JT, I'm going to let you just run the replay now.
Thank you.
Of course they should.
31 was the second quarter. They're about to get to the 400, and it's going to be a long home straight here. They've gone hard on the outside. Our 2010, he got a neck in front. Claudie's Princess, she's game. She's a winner. She won't give up without a fight. She goes through, retains the inside advantage. Here's Illawong Helios three deep with fresh legs going up to challenge. Estenrose fourth. They're all tied into the straight. They went 29-3 down the back. A survival of the fittest in the derby. Claudie's Princess, our 2010, and Illawong Helios down the outside. Illawong Helios went up to take the lead, and she's going to get Group 1 glory. Illawong Helios, a well-deserved win. Beats Claudie's Princess, and out 2010 third. Fourth, Astero.
Harness Racing, Victoria Wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. The Weekend Review, The Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
That we definitely are with Blake Bonners and JT now getting down to look at tomorrow's big card up at Maryborough. We kick it off at 20 to 12 with a Monty Gentleman. There are no scratchings.
Numbers here, JT, 7, 5, 3 and 6. They're very, well, I say they're tricky races to work out, but similar horses go around pretty regularly, so you get a good guide on them. Conanbridge, having to overcome the 40-metre handicap over 1,690 metres, that's tough, but his record at the Monty is incredible. He's had 5 starts for 3 wins and 2 silver medals, Baker, and I think if he begins well enough, he's definitely the one to beat. I think he's helped by the fact that a few of these have probably got no hope at all. The major dangers are Frances Annie, who can ping the tapes in the Monty's when she's on song. Sometimes she doesn't want to be there. Number 3, Cyclone Lucky 7 now with Maddie Craven, has also run some good races in these ridden trots, but just a nice easy way to start the day before noon. 7, 5, 3 and 6 more numbers. You think it'll be tough for Conanbridge, don't you?
Oh, look, 40 metres is a lot of ground to make up over 1690. I guess the one thing that negates that is there's no horse off the front, so it's really only 30 metres, and two of his main dangers are off, you know, 30 and 40 metres in their own right. So
he's immoral, it sounds like now.
I'm not going to talk myself into him or out of him. I'll be enjoying the train ride up, and I'll be there for race 2.
Sounds good.
Second events for the two-year-old, no scratching. Strop's a first starter.
Relatively simple equation here for my numbers, 11, 8, 7 and 12. If Just Call Me Molly doesn't do anything wrong, she will win by a fairly long way. She would have been ultra-competitive. I mean ultra-competitive if she trotted all the way in the Redwood Classic. So Karen Manning's chosen this path, won the similar race or the corresponding race last year with Mr. Sundon, if I'm not mistaken. Major dangers here if Just Call Me Molly's not on her best behaviour, and she hasn't really been in both starts to date, Chizzy and also Pat's Delight. And outside of them, Majestic Player, Sovereign Minx is one you've got to be big opinion of Baker. Honey Please, even if it had a little bit of luck from outside the second row. So it's actually going to turn out to be a really good form race, this, but my numbers are 11, 8, 7 and 12.
You've got me pegged there. I think we can make a great deal of money. I do hope the train is on time because I think Sovereign Minx is terrific each way bet. Have you marked it about $9, Bond?
12.
12, step right in each way all day. If it does everything right, it will not miss a place, and if it does everything right, it might just win.
Just a reminder, you cannot bet with me tomorrow, JT. So,
haven't you got the phone app, the Tab phone app on your iPhone, Blake?
They do have
carriage up there at Maryborough, I believe.
That's true. I will be having a bet regardless of where the train is.
That's it. That's the way. That's what we want to see. The third race is over the 21.90. They are all running. Social Fireball in very solid form.
It's a heat and a final affair. You'd think this would be relatively easy. It's not. My numbers are 2, 4, 1 and 12. I'm going with MVP. Got a long way out of his ground and made significant late inroads on Social Fireball in their qualifier for this series. I think the major danger is MVP's conqueror on that occasion that you just mentioned, Social Fireball, going for 3 wins in a row. Uncle Al's got a nice draw too, or a nice starting position given there, going from the strands here, and is also ticking along nicely. And Tamati Success has clearly got a lot of ability, can make a little bit of a meal at the strands from time to time, and has a difficult draw off the 10-metre handicap as well. So, tough race, Baker, 2, 4, 1 and 12.
You're rare I'd say this, but you've absolutely nailed it.
Thank you.
Did I then?
Mm. Yeah, we'll join in the chorus.
We'll have to get that off the logger just for you, Bonners, to
keep one and all.
To keep in the vault. Fourth event, guys, is for the 3-year-olds over 21.90. Next through is a scratching. Gee, this is a tough race.
Well, it's the order of the day, really. I've been on record as suggesting this is the toughest meeting I've ever had to analyse or price, and I've got 13 Jilly Babavska on top. Not easy to say a hell of a lot of bees there in a row, but I'm going with it on top. Wide second line draw. It's made a lot of mistakes early in its career, but even before its first start, Baker, they were talking this horse up. There was a rumour around that he was pretty good, and the way he went last start, particularly given he defeated a subsequent winner on Friday, I think he's the real deal, and if he does everything right, I think it'd be very hard to beat. But there's stacks of dangers. Dark Secret's competed at the highest level, all preparation. Carnier is going to be probably the best each-way bet in the race if you want to play safe, because it'll be leader or behind leader in transit. And number 10 next through, 3 starts back was enormous, beating Illawong, Byron and Kay, but there's probably 6... Well, that's out. So you can also throw in number 12, Star Inside, who's done a wonderful job winning at an elite level so far this preparation. So 13, 8, 2 and 12, but you could throw 6 or 7 in the first leg or last leg of the early quad.
Agree. I'd probably be willing to have a little cheeky each-way bet on the emergency bootleg bird. I've got a soft spot for him. He will need a soft run, but he'll be running on at some point.
I don't mind that. Mm.
Fifth event is the John Slack Memorial Trotters. This is the first leg of the normal quaddie over 21.90 metres. Gee, some solid form in this. Scorching Along's up in class. Any Old Way's been pretty good the last couple, as has Rift Valley. Xenia, we know she can win this race quite easily, and I've just really scratched the surface.
Yeah, you have. 12, 10, 2 and 3 on my numbers. I've just settled on Any Old Way. Two of his last three have been absolutely outstanding, I've thought, and even where he got beaten in between them. He might have just turned the corner a little bit. Brent Lilly's entire team's racing really well.
Well, there's nothing new there, is there?
No. Look, Rift Valley's a complete athlete. I don't think it's the kind of horse that will overcome significant obstacles in a race, but if everything went its way, it could blow these away. Scorching Along is the best chance off the front row. I think it's got a really good turn of foot at the end of its races, and I thought maybe the best bet all day potentially was a straight out place bet or 1/5 on Desert Flyer, who went particularly well a week and a bit ago at metropolitan level. So 12, 10, 2 and 3, but play very wide first leg of the quad, Bakes.
Yep, tend to agree again. I'd probably have something small on Scorching Along if it gets out to, you know, a good each way price, but I would be throwing plenty into the quaddie.
All right, feature event, guys. So one of them is the Redwood Classic, and we've got a raging favourite here in Wobbly at 165, Fixed with Tab, One Muscle Hill at 5, Our Resume, 9, LaGrange, for ZZ Top fans, at 10, Fend Off, Lee J. Hooker, mate, Fend Off at 10.
For Dusty Martin fans. Smash
Them Quarter at 11, and that's where it really ends. My synopsis on this race, guys, it's Wobblies to lose.
Yeah, but, I mean, history would tell us stand, start, trot for two-year-olds, probably try and avoid the favourite, but I'm going to contradict myself and agree with you here, JT, and say Wobbly just wins. He doesn't seem to have too many chinks in his armour. He can begin quickly from the stands. He's shown that at the races and the trials. Clear on top selection. Only major danger if you're playing quarters is number 4-1, Muscle Hill. I was disappointed originally, Baker, with its run first up back in Australia after the Jules, but that was its first run since the Jules. It will improve significantly off the effort and should be right in the firing line early from the good good draw. Beyond them, it gets pretty tricky. Fend off, as you mentioned, for Dusty Martin, the potential, well, a very short price Brownlow favourite now. He's in the mix somewhere. Probably a year off really fulfilling his potential, though. And Smash Them Calder has been up since the start of the season. He's a really good, consistent customer. 9, 4, 3, and 7?
Yeah, pretty much covered it. I'd be keen to play Whiz Bang Dan through second and third in trifectas if he just lobs a handy spot from the stand, if he does step.
You can't
well.
Bet after they've started, unfortunately.
We'll back him to run a place anyway. he'll run a good race again, but as you say, there's no reason to look away from Wobbly the way he's going.
Certainly is in a rich vein of form at the moment, Chris Alford, puppet in the bike. On to race number 7, Trotters Free for All over 21.90. Who do you like here? A couple of these are first up, so obviously we'll be looking to see what they can do, but maybe at this stage those with the race fitness will be the ones to beat, Bonas?
I wouldn't necessarily. Sort of. Three of the five that are resuming here, I think they're in the five that have to go in New Quaddy. They are the Boss Man, who is usually very good fresh one of Baker's. Definitely Cardigan Boko, who's one of the fastest point-to-point trotters going around.
Any trial forms to guide us here, guys?
Yes, the Boss Man's done well at the trials. Cardigan Boko has done really well at the trials. Took off mid-race, had shepherded into trial and just got nabbed by a pacer late from memory. And Keystone Dell's also been ticking along well at the trials. Yeah, and has since trialled again behind the stablemate Kai Valley Blur and was making ground in it late. So all of them have trialled encouragingly for their returns. I'm sticking with Mulry's favourite son, back to the front line. He only knows one way. He bullies his way to the front and keeps running from there. And this is where the race fitness could come into play. So I've got him on top, Mulry's favourite son. I've mentioned those three resuming horses. They're all in the mix for your quaddies. And I'd also be throwing in Claudie's Princess, who is right back, I think, to her very, very best at her last three starts. Baker just needs a little bit of fortune in her races at this level. 7, 12, 11 and 9 for me.
Well, there's every chance she'll flush the Boss Man first, and if he's coming three wide and she's on his back and they've gone quickly, she could uncoil a pretty big run. So
that's exactly what my map looks like.
I like that.
You see?
Yeah, I'm happy to have an each-way bet on Claudie's Princess, but all the big guns, as you say, have to go in the quaddie for sure.
All right, the other feature is the Group 1 Victoria Trotters Derby. Fixed odds with Tab and you is scratching at this stage. Dan's Craze is 2.30 fixed with Tab. President Royden 3.50. Chevron Express 6. Un Belle Allure 6. Delta Sun is 11. And that's where we draw a line, lads.
Might have started around $3 or even better, potentially, or Open Dance Craze. I think there is a chance she'll start in the red.
So you'd take that price now then?
Yeah, well, I have taken my price, and I would still take the 240. I've marked her 220, and I thought I was being fairly generous. Basically, I think she will lead from the pole mark and draw. If she does, and if she gets any sort of breather over the 26.90, she's so fast, there's no way they can possibly catch her. That's the way I read the race. But over the last couple of years, they have been brutally run affairs. And if it is brutally run, maybe she has got a chink in the armour. We probably haven't seen her put under that kind of pressure.
She'd just hand up mid-race, wouldn't she? They're really poor.
Oh, well, it just depends. You've got to hand up the right horse. It's very difficult to hand up mid-race with trotters too, because you don't want to lose the rhythm. Delta Sun is one of the key dangers. In fact, two Australians here, two locals, Delta Sun and Un Belle Allure, I think, are the major dangers. I'm half willing to risk the Kiwis, though if President Royden did find the front, I think he can improve significantly off his first run in Australia last weekend. And the other winning chances, Chevron Express. I haven't actually been that taken, even though she won the Oaks in New Zealand. I'm not sure she's any sort of superstar, but you'd probably have to throw her into the mix as well, along with Margaret Ruth, who's continued or always promised that she could win a Group 1 race. They'd really need to run it along very, very quickly for her to win, though, Bakes.
Pretty confusing race to my eye, but I do think Delta Sun is still the overpriced runner at $11. He got out to $14 earlier in the week. But he's the one that he's now proven that he can be last man standing, or he can come with one run at them. So over the 2,600 metres, there will be good gaps appearing late in the field, and I think he's one that will definitely run the distance. He's the one that I'm happy to have an each-way bet on.
Bloke in the bike can drive the odd winner here and there. On to race number 9 over the Flying Mile. There are no scratchings. Do we forget Sunny Afternoon's last start at Ballarat, Jason?
We can. Even if I do, I'm still willing to suggest that it's good. Getting Calder, who sort of made her name winning this race 12 months ago, is the one to beat. She's the class runner without any doubt for mine. She's a significantly better horse now than she was then. She'll need to be. This is a stronger race than that one was, and she's got the second line draw, but I've got her on top. Kai Valley Top Cat, I think, will spear to the lead and prove a tough nut to crack from the head of affairs after a career best performance last time out. Aldebaran Eve's the other one who represents class, but has the awkward draw, and Aldebaran AM's going to go forward with Kai Valley Top Gat and get itself into a really nice position in transit. But on with It's Getting Caught. Interesting runner in the race, Baker. Plain Baby has done a really good job as a pacer. Turns up here as a trotter and did beat our Quick Cash, who won on Friday in a recent trial. So she might just jump out of the ground. You watch markets there, but It's Getting Caught for me.
Yeah, really interesting race. She's never been one of mine, Kai Valley Top Gat, but I think she gets a lot of things to favour. And her last start was actually terrific, much better than I thought she was probably capable of. So yeah. I've sort of taken her up a notch in my eyes, and I wouldn't be surprised if she led over the mile and she was really hard to run down. So, again, we're looking for an each-way price, but I'd be happy to back Kai Valley Top Gat.
And if you know nothing about form and you're a muso, it's LaGrange into Sunny Afternoon. Race number 10 is the last over 2190, and they're all running.
And if you like dancing, you can have Argentine Tango to finish you off, I suppose. But JPD's the way I'm going. This is the toughest race in the program, on an enormously tough program. So hopefully we've made our money by now. But JPD's a horse I've got a lot of time for, half-brother to Arbo, huge amount of ability. If he turns up in the right mood, which he doesn't always do, he'd be very, very hard to beat. Major dangers. Ballpark, I really like. Really like. And I think he's going to be in front here. So we're going to see whether Ballpark's going to measure up, I think, tomorrow afternoon at Maryborough. Beyond them, Garston Girl's definitely one of yours, Baker. I think it was held up badly on Friday in a race it contested here at Maryborough. Number 13, Sky Majesty, hasn't had a lot of luck or preparation, though her desire to win races is probably slightly in question at the moment. 9-3, 7-13, but you could play a lot wider than that.
Yeah, pin the tail on the donkey job with Garston Girl for me, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of people at this point of the day that are pretty much sideways by Sunday afternoon, so I may or may not be one of them, but I'll be enjoying Garston Girl if she
Sunday
gets the job
sesh,
done.
Yeah.
That's the last of 10. Best bet time, Blake?
I think Delta Sun's a really good each-way bet. I think Kai Valley Top Cat's a good each-way bet. There are probably a number of them that you can not go too extreme on. Sovereign Minx, I'd be able to back all of those each-way.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Maury's Favourite Son at a price. I'm hoping we can get something like $4. I think Dance Craze will be very hard to beat and still represents value. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Desert Flyer, I think we can back straight out of place, or maybe 1/5 in the John Slack Memorial Trotters Cup Race 5 on the card.
Where do we get the form, gentlemen?
goodform.trot.com.au, and we'll be very excited pumping it away, getting it up online so that everyone can have a crack at this meeting. And if you like value, if you're a thoroughbred punter, definitely get involved, because it's going to be $4 the field for most of the day, JT.
I think that's a really good point. No, I think the shortest price of the day will be wobbly, but there'll be plenty of Collingwood colours on display at Maryborough. Hey, enjoy the Red Rattler, lads, and enjoy the Redwood Day. It's always a great day.
Just before we go, I'm going to throw in a Baker one here. If you want to get a bet on and you can get set with somebody, whoever, if Paddy Dangerfield gets the most votes in the Brownlow medal, whoever wins gives their medal to Paddy Dangerfield. That's my tip.
Oh, no way.
That's one of yours,
no
Baker.
No way.
Yeah, that's what I reckon will happen,
100
JT.
100-1. You can have all of it.
Talk next week, lads.
Thanks, JT. John.
Thanks, guys. Nothing like a bit of comedy to end the show. What's that line from The Castle? Tell him he's dreaming. Anyway, enjoy Redwood Classic Day tomorrow at Maryborough. It will be a ripper trotting card. That's it for Talking Trots. JT saying good morning to you. Riley Finlan has the latest in sport in just a tick. Then the On The Punt team take a good look at Flemington today.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.